Welcome to the All Nations Church of Luxembourg podcast. You know me,
and no one can take you away, and no one can take you away, and no the Father knows you, you know me, you know me, you know me, you know me, and no one can take you away, and no one can take you away.
Good morning and a warm welcome to this worship service. So nice to see you this morning and together with you to worship. We invite you to stand up and to sing with us at the beginning of this worship service. And I invite you to be at this moment, in this moment, and to rest. And as we look to the cross this morning, to open our hearts and our minds to the presence of the living God.
Word I will believe, I wait for Seated. And grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship at All Nations Church, where we are near Easter. We're only 2 weeks away now. We are journeying yet another week of this, a statement of when Jesus says, I am. And today we hear Jesus in these familiar words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is that for which we are here, and we hope as a church, as individuals, to yet walk in that truth more and more. If you are new here, we especially greet you. We're glad that you've joined us. Again, whether you're new to our community, new to Luxembourg, in any case, welcome. And you can stop at the table at the back on the way out if you like. You can sign up for our weekly update. You can give your info to us so that we can, in turn, connect with you. And always, we would love to welcome you into our community. For those who have been here a little bit longer, we're having a membership class today. There are a lot of people signed up for that already. That's following the 11 o'clock service. But there are still a few spots. So if you're someone who's been here for a little while and you're thinking like, you know, this seems to be my church. I'm interested in being a member of this body of Christ. Or what does that even mean? If that interests you at all, you can speak to me after church. There's, as I said, some more spots available. That's immediately following the 11 o'clock service. Lunch will be provided. It's now, as I said, less than 2 weeks away that we're having our Good Friday service. That will be here. That's the 29th of March at 7 p.m. It's a solemn, somber service, but also a really meaningful one in which we hear an extended reading from the gospel story of Jesus' passion and his crucifixion. I think it goes without saying this is a significant moment in the Christian faith, so it's good to be here to remember that and to worship together. Again, that's Friday the 29th at 7 p.m. here. 2 days later, of course, is Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection. And one of the ways that we mark that and make it just a little bit extra special is we bring flowers. And you may have remembered in the past that we have flowers here lining the stage. We'll have some people bringing flowers like sort of in advance, but we invite everyone to bring flowers on that Sunday. Perhaps especially if you're coming to the 9:30 service, you can bring flowers and we'll display them all here. If you do that, which we hope you would like to, it is helpful if you get here maybe a little bit earlier than you otherwise would so that we have time to arrange them. But we can all pitch in to make this a beautiful stage with lovely flowers on Easter Sunday. Finally, I just want to highlight a team that probably a lot of you don't even know exists, although you see their work for sure, and that is the design team. We have a team of people, which principally Laura Breedlove and Annalise Strecker, who do pretty much all of our design work. So all the images you see here related to the sermons and to the announcements that we're giving, all the stuff you see in the weekly update, all the things that you see on Church Center, all the things that you see on Facebook and Instagram, all of these places, all of the visual aspect, which is really important to a lot of us, and I think it's actually important to all of us, even if we see it or recognize it or not. It makes a huge impact, and these people are using their gifts to build community, to invite us in. So first of all, I just want to recognize and thank those people, again, who they kind of work in the background. I think they like it that way, which is just fine. But if you are someone who has those kind of skills, you like to do graphic design, you like to create things, we would love to know that because they would welcome more people on that team. You can find that information on Church Center or, again, speak to me. Would love to help you use your gifts to bless others as Annalie and Laura and Zeldine and many other people are as well. As we continue to worship, I invite you now to stand and to hear these words from Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love toward me.
Chasing of the wind, the powers of the earth, so pale and thin, we will set our hearts on you
Jesus, oh, for grace.
having a moment now where we are going to receive the offering as a part of our worship this morning, and the children leave for the ministry time as well as the youth. Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, thank you that we can call you our Father. And you are a good Father. And you take care of us. And you know what we are facing in our lives. You know each of us who is here this morning. You know each of us who is joining in via the live stream. You know our hearts, you know our story, and you know the future. And I just ask that you help us be in this moment and to rest in your presence and to look to the cross this morning and know the history and the glory and the victory that is combined and tied to it. Thank you that you are such a merciful Father, that you invite us to come into your presence if we feel weak or if we feel strong, if we have questions or doubts. Your arms are open wide this moment and at any time that we face. I ask that you also help us in this season where it's a bit darker outside and it has been challenging for some of us. As we approach the spring season, help us to be merciful with ourselves too, where we struggle, as you have shown mercy to us. And this morning I ask that you help us to open ourselves up towards you, our hearts and our minds, and to draw from the ever-living streams of water. We look to you this morning, Lord Jesus, in all the situations that we face in our personal lives, the burdens that we carry, the people that are on our hearts that we love, and we just want to lay them at the feet of your cross this morning and know that you are ever praying for us in front of the throne. Thank you for this passage where it says, when we knock at the door, surely you will open the door and we will find you. So we draw near to you this morning. Father, we want to bring this country before you, this location here at Limpertsberg, all the places, the neighborhood, the direct neighborhood here, but also the bigger spaces, the hospital here at Kirchberg. You know every place and all the families and the singles and the elderly peoples. You know the struggles that everybody has. Just ask that you call out to your children this morning and that they hear in this Easter season the call of everlasting love over their lives, the call of love that knows them by their name. And may you open the doors of people's home and bring in a fresh breath of water as the spring approaches. And may people encounter you today on this Sunday. And may we encounter you this morning in this worship service. Father, we bring all that is happening in our church before you. We bring our pastors before you. We bring our governing board before you, the leadership team, all the planning, all the transition that is happening. We just ask that you draw us to your feet to listen and to follow in your timing and in your path. Help us to be courageous in this season and to trust that you are the everlasting God and that underneath, as it says in Deuteronomy, are the everlasting arms. Father, we cry out to you on behalf of the situation in the Middle East, the wars that are happening also closer to us in the Ukraine, the elections that are happening today in Russia. Thank you that you are the authority over all authorities on this earth. And we ask that you bring justice and that you set those free who are imprisoned and that we see you work mightily. We bring the persecuted church before you this morning, those brothers and sisters in the many places in the world who are right now separated from their families, who are sitting in a prison because of their faith. We ask that you comfort them this morning and that you draw close to them. We want to stand behind them in prayer. As we live in such a freedom this morning, we can gather and we can worship you in freedom. We want to remember them who cannot just raise the voices as we did it this morning. So we thank you that we can look to you this morning, Lord Jesus, God our Father and Holy Spirit. And we invite you in this coming time. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet, you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. This is the word of the Lord.
I wonder this morning if you've ever been a part of a business or a community when things start to go sour, sideways, broken, fall apart. If so, it will immediately come to your mind. It's not an experience that happens and you don't remember that reality in your life. And if it hasn't come yet, if you can't think of anything, don't worry, it'll come. So, you know. It is part of life. It seems like that all of us in some way, shape, or form at different times have to have the things around us, the work or the places or the people, kind of fall apart and not be the way that we want them to be. For me, the one that comes to mind right away was the church I was at previously called Chain of Lakes Community Bible Church in Northern Illinois, which is where we were before we came. And it went a larger church. went from a place with lots of unity to a place of distrust. It went from a place where there was a diverse group of people who shared a common story and a common experience. And that story and that experience was Christ and their relationship with him. And that kept them together, and it brought them together, and it helped them to stay together in the midst of all their diversity, all the difference that was there. And there was quite a bit of difference. And then at some point, and it's a longer story, what I won't go into, what they became a diverse, disunified community with two different stories, at least, maybe more, pulling them apart. It went from a church where I was the associate pastor, so it was kind of my job, along with some of the what they had as deacons, to lock up the church at the end. And sometimes you'd be at church for an hour and a half after all the service is over, and you can't get people to leave. So, you know, which is, if you want to lock up the place, it's like, you know, come on, guys. But it's a wonderful thing because people want to stay and be together and talk and share. And it went from that to, in 15 minutes, the lobby was clear. People didn't want to hang around. Even those who didn't know the problems could feel it and sense it and were like, I don't want to stay here, even though they came on Sunday morning. It was such an interesting thing to watch as a pastor. A unified community is a gift. And by the way, I just want to let you know you have one. You have it. And it is the work of God, it is the work of many people who have diligently worked for that. And so my encouragement for you is to continue to help nurture that, to make sure that you do your part to nurture it. And, one thing I've learned about communities is that they're both very resilient and fragile. And the problem is you don't always know where. You think this is strong, and then you push on it, and it's weak, and it crumbles. And you think this, we have to be very careful, and then pressure comes, and it stands. And so it's just one of those things that is a gift that we have, and while we have it, it's wonderful, and you assume that that's always the way things will be, and then when you lose it, you realize it was a gift to be shepherded and be cared for. Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because I think this is where Jesus and the disciples are at. Things are starting to fall apart. Their hopes and expectations, what they bought into 3 years ago when they were coming with Jesus and going, what they hoped for is changing. Their story was, we're going to connect with Jesus. He's going to be God's sent one. We're going to go to Jerusalem. And then they're going to recognize him. God's going to set up the kingdom. He's going to be the king, and Rome's going to be pushed out, and we're going to be there with him, and this is going to be really cool. And as things start to take place, and we can see in chapter 13, things start to fall apart. Actually, Jesus, at this point in John, if we think about the other Gospels, is probably in Jerusalem or has been in and come out of Jerusalem. He's cleared the temple. He's had, heated discussions with the religious leaders and the Pharisees who are seeking to kill him and try to find a way to trap him. So you can get the imagine this, the disciples are kind of like, as long as we're here with Jesus, we're safe. But, you know, this is a hostile environment for us to be in, but we're with Jesus. In John 13, Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to depart. He's going to leave this world, which was not, again, what they had hoped for, what they had planned for. He said that one of them who is with them at the table sharing the Last Supper is going to betray him. And they are going, who is it? Is it me? Is it someone else? What's going on? And then Peter declares, I'll never betray you. I'll die for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, by tomorrow morning, you will have denied me 3 times. So you can imagine the confidence of these disciples has just started to shrink and fall away. What will happen if Jesus goes? If he's not here? What will happen to us? This is not what we planned for. This is not the journey that we joined in with. And yet, this is what is happening with Jesus. This is what's happening with them. And it reminds me as I reread this morning that it's kind of test time. This is kind of the time, and Jesus does this frequently with us and with other people. There's a time in which he tests us, not because he doesn't know where we're at, because he does, but he tests us so that we learn where we're at and so that he can teach us what we need. And that's what he's doing with the disciples here. He's revealing where they're at, the anxiety, the fear. He's reminding them what they know and how to make it through this, How can they make it through this time without falling apart, without this community going to pieces, and without being against one another, which is so easy to happen? The story that they had, what they were living, they didn't understand. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to make a way by the cross for them to come into the presence of the Father, and that he had to make that way, and that there was no one else to make that way, and they can't come with him to make that way. His way is to be arrested, to be tried, to be found guilty in an unjust setting, to be condemned to death, and to die upon a cross. That's his way, to be the innocent sufferer who takes upon himself the sin of the world, so that our sin, we are freed from it, so that we take Christ's place as the one who is made right, who is right before God, as he took our place as the ones who were guilty. And all of that happened on the cross. And that's the way that Jesus is opening up by going to the cross. But they don't understand it. As things humanly start to fall apart, I think it's interesting and important for us to recognize that God's rescue and restoration of us is on track. Right? That's helpful, isn't it? Because so often when we're going through different things and things start to go sideways or south or fall apart, we start to go, this God, where are you? What's going on? Why is this not working out the way that I was sure it was supposed to be? But God is at work. In fact, in some ways, maybe in the midst of the times when things are falling apart the most, God is most active. We just don't know it yet. We haven't seen how it's going to work out. We can't see. Just the disciples really could not see fully what Jesus was going to do. And I think this passage gives us some really amazing gifts to guide us through life's troubles, the troubles that we will face, all of us, at one point. And one of those life lessons is this: the antidote to a troubled heart, the antidote to feeling the anxiety and the fear that things are falling apart, the anxiety that we have, is to change our focus from our surroundings to God, from the things that are happening around us, the experiences, the losses, the relationships that have changed, and to listen to what Jesus says. He says, trust in God. Trust also in me. Those seem like such simple words, don't they? And yet those are really words to live by. Words when we enter into the situations in which things seem to be falling apart, things are not making sense. It was for these disciples. He says, here's what you need to know most right now. Trust God. Trust also in me. That will get you through. You can't fix it. You can't change it. You can't make it so I'm not going to go to the cross. None of that can happen. God is at work. You don't understand it. Ultimately, you need to put your trust in God. Jesus' journey is through the cross of Good Friday to the resurrection of Easter Sunday morning. And he does it so that they and we have a place in the Father's house, in heaven. And of course, when Jesus speaks these things to the disciples, the questions of Philip and Thomas, you know, reveal the anxiety they have, the lack of understanding that they have of who Jesus is and what's about to take place and why it's necessary for this. And so there's a lot of fear and anxiety as from their perspective, things are falling apart, and from God's perspective, things are right on track. And so their questions actually are really helpful to us. They're helpful for us because in some ways they answer some of our questions along the way that we have, right? That we don't have to ask, and Jesus isn't here for us to hear the answer, but they reflect the anxieties and the fears that we face in our life. Thomas says this, as Jesus says to him, I'm going away, but you know the place to where I'm going. Thomas says, since we don't know where you're going, the destination, how can we know the route to get there? Philip adds, as Jesus responds, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, okay, Jesus, you know, let us just show us the Father. Give us this powerful expression of God coming, like maybe like Moses had on the mountain. Or in some other way, like Isaiah had when God came to him and he fell on the floor and he knew it was God. If you just give us that, it's enough, which, by the way, is not true. And the reason you know that is because God does that again and again in the Old Testament, and people continue to not believe. Right? It proves it in the passages again and again. We think if God just showed up and spoke to me in this moment, I would never forget it. I would never doubt. And it is not true. It's not the way it works. It's not the way we work. We can't live that way. And so they're both looking in some way to have clarity and to know how to respond. Their confusion is there, but it also helps us to know. Jesus, to Thomas' question, basically, if we don't know where you're going, we don't know what you're about, how can we meet you, Jesus, to where you are? How can we get there? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In this, Jesus responds again to him about the destination. It's interesting. He told them, where I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father's house. But they didn't catch it because they're afraid and they're not listening and they're nervous. And even so, if they got it, would they really completely have understood? There's still a lot for them to learn. The Father is the destination, and he is leaving to make a way for the disciples and for us to be with the Father, because that's where life is. And we have life through his life. The idea here that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life really focuses much more on the way. But in this process of being the way, his way is through the cross, through his death. That makes a way for us. But he is the way who is the truth. Jesus himself is truth. He possesses truth. He gives truth to us. He speaks the truth. And this is a truth with a capital T. Now, when I speak about the truth, I may think I'm talking capital T, but, you know, really, honestly, we're all talking little t, right? My truth, the truth that I understand, that I'm aware of. But when Jesus speaks truth and says, this is truth, it's capital T. It's certain. It is what is. And he is also the way to life. And as we mentioned last week, we all have our life from him. John 1 reminds us that everything that's created owes its life to Jesus. But he's the one who sustains our life. And as we see in the Gospels, he's the one that heals people. He's the one that casts out evil spirits from people so that they can be restored to life. And he is the one who gives us eternal life. He is the one who is life, the way to life. Eternal life in John is the same really as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in the other three gospels. And so it's that living with God. It's that having him reign in our life and experiencing the life of God in us. And then in this passage, Jesus makes it clear that he is the only way to God. How does that make you feel? Or maybe better for some of you, how does that make you think? Does that feel a little bit like, ah, gosh, it's kind of restrictive, you know? Or maybe, I don't know how, you know, how that affects other people and what should I do with that? Many people, I think, especially in the West, I will say, but also in other places, don't like only one way, right? We prefer lots of ways. In fact, let's be honest, we prefer our way more than any other way. Right? We want to be able to decide things for ourselves. And depending on where you want to end up, any way, or your way, or whatever way, is okay. Depending on where you want to go, where you want your destination to be. But Jesus says, if you want your destination to be with the Father, there is one way. And Jesus says, I am that way. I am the one who has opened the way, and I am the way to that. And I think this is a struggle for lots of people, especially for many, me that we talk with. But let me give you an illustration that I think at least helps for me. Imagine for a moment that you were in a burning house, right? And you call out the window and you say, I've tried different ways. I don't know how to get out of the house. And I'm going to die unless someone gets me. And I say, you know, if you go to the back, there's a stairway that goes out and that's all clear and you can go through that and you'll get out. And you said to me, you know, I don't like stairs. prefer an elevator. Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? Right? You'd had no idea that there was a way. I presented you with a legitimate way, and you complain. See, we look at that and go, that's crazy. But in a sense, it reminds us that we don't really believe that there was no way to God. We're really still convinced that we can find lots of ways. There's lots of ways that we can make this work. And Jesus is saying to us, there is no way that you can make this work. There's no way you can make the journey that Jesus has to make as the innocent Son of God to open up the way. He is the way. And so we come back again to John 14:1. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus says. Trusting in yourself or in your wishful way won't get you to God. It won't get you into a relationship where you dwell with God, where you experience who God is, where you know his presence and his beauty, where you experience his protection, his provision, and his guidance in your life. If what you want is God, Jesus is your way. To be honest, there's a lot of people that want a lot of other things. And they can find ways to that. But Jesus says there's only one way. If you're going to come in and dwell in the Father's house, to be with the Father, to live with the Father. One other, I think, interesting and important part I just want to highlight this passage is the know and the see. So it talks a lot about knowing and seeing. So, and Emmeline, thank you for highlighting those. You may have caught that or you might have remembered a little bit. But Jesus says to them, you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas, what, responds, how can we know the way? Jesus says, if you'd really known me, you would know who my Father is to Philip. And from now on, you do know and have seen him. And Philip responds, show us the Father. If we see him, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus says to Philip, I have been with you all this time and you still don't know who I am? Anyone, Philip, who has seen me has seen the Father. Believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Do you see that in this process of this dialogue, there's this question mark. We don't know, and Jesus is saying, you do know. You know more than you know that you know. Does that make sense? Kinda? You know more than you know that you know. And how do you find that out? By being tested. Right? You ever had an exam like that? I've had several like that. Where you feel like I don't think I know enough. And you go in and you realize I know more than I knew. Because under the test, it comes up and it comes out. What you know, good and bad. And what you don't know also comes up. Right? But in the midst of that test, Jesus says, you have enough. You know enough. Believe. Believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Believe that when you see me and hear my words, that you hear the words of the Father and you see the Father at work, that you see God. Believe. And in John, to know and to see, to bring those two together is to believe. That's what true belief is about, to know and to see. It is committed faith applied to Jesus as the way of salvation. And we were reminded in this passage, which should be comforting to us, is that the disciples still have an underdeveloped faith, right? They're not there yet. And that should hearten us. It should help us. It should make us feel like we're in good company. I mean, these people were with Jesus for at least 3 years, day and night. And they didn't quite get it. They had more to learn. And so Jesus in this passage, because time is short, is pushing them and telling them that they already have all that they need to believe. They just need to engage that and trust in him. Engage with what they know, trust in him, and you'll make it through. But if you don't bring up what you know and choose to trust in Jesus, he says, you're not going to make it through this. You're not going to make it. You've got to trust. Because they know Jesus, they know the Father. He is the I Am. He is God. And because they see Jesus, they have seen the Father. Because Jesus is the I Am. He is God. Little did they know how much they needed to hear what Jesus was telling them. Little did they know what they were about to walk into. Jesus being arrested, disciples being scattered, Peter denying Jesus, Jesus being tried unjustly, him being put on a cross. They thought everything was lost. And Jesus, hopefully they hung on to those words, trust in me. Trust also in my Father. You wonder if they kind of lost the words that they needed to hear until the resurrection. And you can understand why. It seemed like all was lost, but actually all was gained. Isn't that interesting? Because what God is doing is different oftentimes than what we're doing. They and we have all the elements we need to trust in God and also trust in Jesus to do that. To make that actionable in our life. And yet we also desire to see and know more. And just so you know, that's insatiable. You're never going to get to the point and say, I know enough, I've seen enough, I can fully trust no matter what. It doesn't work that way. For these disciples, or for you, or for me. It doesn't. But that's what we want. It'll never be enough. Trust is a decision. Trust is an active step. And when we want more of whatever it is that we think will make a difference, I want you instead to think, you know what, I actually have enough. Jesus says, I actually know enough. I've actually seen enough to trust God. And you know what happens as you trust God? You see him work. And you realize he's trustworthy. Isn't that interesting the way that works? We're wondering, should I trust God? Should I not trust God? And we step forward and we trust God and we realize he is trustworthy. I was right to trust him. That was the right thing to do. But along the way, before we make those steps forward, we wonder. I just have a couple of questions to end on, to ask you as you think about this story, as you think about the story that we're about to enter into Holy Week, the Jesus being the way. Is your story about what life is all about and what matters, is it aligned with God's story? Because that's the disciples' problem, isn't it? Their story, their ending, what they wanted was misaligned. And so that created a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of doubt. And oftentimes, our biggest challenge is aligning our story with God's. That what God is doing is what we're a part of. Because, by the way, God's not going to join your story. It's not the way it works. He is not here for us. But we are here for him. And his story is so much better and bigger and more beautiful and more life-giving and more truthful than our story. And so if you want to inhabit God's story, Jesus is the way. And it is a true story. And it is a story that brings life. Life now, life in the future. Life with God. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father, we thank you again that Jesus speaks strongly and truthfully and challenges us. That just as these disciples were entering in maybe their most difficult moments, he tested them and he helped them to have what they needed, to realize that they had more than they knew and they just needed to believe, which is hard work, especially when there's all kinds of reasons not to believe. Father, you know what we face. And you know whether we're pursuing our story or your story or yes, but story. And we ask that you would help us align our story to yours. and to do that by trusting you. You have shown that you are good. So, Lord, help us to put more trust in you so that we can experience again and again your presence and your power now, but also know that our future, because Jesus has made the way and is the way, is secure. We ask this in his name. Amen.
We invite you to stand up and to sing with us. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Sing a little. Break every strong. Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
As you go, go with these words of Jesus. Trust in God and trust also in Jesus. And as you do, you will never fail and you will never fall so far from the grace of God that picks you back up. You are surrounded by God's love. You have a way through Jesus. And the Spirit is the one who brings that new life to you. Go with Jesus wherever you go. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today. Have a great week and God bless you all. Take care.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit allnationschurch.com.